This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Thank Kanye West for that ID, and Sister from Another Planet, Andrea Clark, for pulling that all together. It's 1 p.m. in New York City. You're tuned to 99.5 FM WBAI. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille.
Positive mind. It's been so long. Well, we successfully got through this fun drive thanks to you and with your help and your benefit, my friends. Amazing. Amazing, the station, how it survives and how you help it survive. It's your station. 212. That's the place we live in. New York City. Hey, listen, did you ever notice that there tends to be, people tend to like news if news is tragic? You know, you see the headline in a newspaper and you see a tragic headline and that's what sells the news. If you had a nice headline, you know, like everything was really nice today in Iraq, there were no deaths, nobody'd buy the newspaper. What about weather? You know, now we have this new tragedy. Weather, storms, cyclones, tsunami, floods, hurricanes, so on and so forth. How many people were killed? 6,432,000 people killed in avalanche. You know, right away papers get sold. Pictures of 9/11. You know, you get 9/11, you see the pictures of the people jumping out of the building. People will rerun it over and over again. They want to see those people jumping, rubbernecking on a highway. What is it that makes people want to see the accident? Are they hoping to see the bodies? Are they rubbernecking to say, oh, I want to see that everybody's okay? Or are they rubbernecking to see some kind of a disaster? Sometimes, you know, you'll see photos of Auschwitz. And during, you know, the Second World War, you'll see some of the concentration camps. And they play them over and over again. So you see the burials and you see the charred bodies. Or even something as simple as watching the Olympics. And you see someone skating and you see a fabulous skater get up there and she falls down. And something happens to the audience. Do you think they feel, oh, that poor kid? It's almost like they're waiting for her to fall. A car race. I asked a man, what do you get from watching these cars go around and around and around and around? He says, the accident. When one goes out of control. And it smashes into a wall and it hits another car and another car. And so what is it? Do we get something out of watching Leona Helmsley and Martha Stewart fall from grace? Do we get something out of that? Do we love scandals? Do we love, you know, Michael Jackson or you know, even the president? You know, scandals. We get something out of hearing bad news about people. What is it about boxing that's so appealing? I mean, if you're a boxing fan, kind of what you get is not just the win or the lose, it's how you take the other person apart. You know, how do you slowly dismantle their strengths? How do you don't punch in the jaw, punch in the stomach, break a kidney, lower, you know. This is Armand DeMille with you. It's a positive mind. I want to understand it. I want to understand why a shark or a tiger taking down its kill can have such appeal to certain people. Well, we're going to say that it has that appeal to certain people because those people must be sadistic. No, that doesn't seem to be what the latest evidence is presenting. It is showing us there's a thing called Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude. S-C-H-A-D-E-N-F-R-E-U-D-E. Schadenfreude. German word. Means feeling pleasure out of other people's misfortune. Well, how could that be? Pleasure taken from someone else's misfortune. How can that be? That sounds so unholistic. You know, it sounds so wrong. How can we possibly enjoy that? Well, it turns out that there, in the latest science of imaging the brain, neuroscience it's called, they've been able to find, through a new kind of brainwave study machine, that they can actually find hot spots in the brain that are associated with pleasure. And it turns out that in the cingulate gyrus, I believe, which is a certain portion of the brain, there's kind of, you could watch the colors of it as it turns. And the way it turns and the colors kind of indicate whether or not the person's having a pleasure experience or a negative experience. And it turns out that someone else's misfortune tends to trigger the positive aspect of the brain. So when you watch a love movie, and if you're somebody who maybe you don't like to see sharks eating gazelles. Can a shark eat gazelles? I know. I'm just trying to do that to your brain. But maybe you don't like seeing the kill in the forest. Maybe you're not one of those, not like men, you know. Men want to see the kill. But you watch love stories and you see the tragic love romance. He was found, discovered, having a relationship with her mother. You know, and that's like, oh my God, it's tragic. But those books, those romance books sell like crazy to the tender-hearted people who would never consider that they're in any way enjoying someone else's pain. But enjoying someone else's pain seems to be good for us. It seems to present something to the mind that's positive. Now, that's a pretty radical statement, doesn't it, friend? Especially since most of us are kind-hearted people who want people not to have any pain at all. We're all there trying to help people not feel pain. In fact, we listen to stories of pain with great empathy. Well, here comes a question. When somebody's telling a bad story about what happened to them, why do they tell that same story over and over again? Is it sympathy and empathy that they're looking for? Is it that they're looking for somebody to say, oh, you poor kid? Well, it makes sense, huh? Makes you feel like a child who's been hurt, runs to her daddy or mommy. Mommy, mommy, I've been hurt. Look what happened to me. Look at the misfortune. I bought this thing and the thing broke. Or I lost my, you know, I lost my this. Or I trusted this person and that person betrayed me. How many people do you know who have been on, who have the same dating story over and over again? The woman who goes, I met this guy. He was really wonderful. He took me home. It was fantastic. I fell in love with him. We had sex the following morning. He left and I found out that he was really married and he has 4 grandchildren, you know. And so, you know, and it's a tragic story because to the person who's going through it, it is a tragedy. They trusted. And you have to feel empathy for them on one hand and even a little anger because they're repeating the story over and over again. What is that all about? What's that exchange about? Why is the person who is wounded telling the story about their victimhood to somebody else? Why did they even get anybody to listen? Schadenfreude. Yes, Schadenfreude is the other person's enjoyment of your pain, even though they don't look like they're enjoying it. If you take a look at their brain, if you plug them into a machine, you'll see the warm spots in the cingulate gyrus and all associated regions are kind of warming up because, you know, as they're listening to you with fixed attention, in a way, they're enjoying it. Well, how could you be enjoying my pain? It looks like you're so sympathetic. It looks like you're even weeping. As I tell you my bad story, well, some part of all humans, part of all beings, seem to have some pleasure in the tragedies of others. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Today, one of these opportunities to be with you, to bring you different stuff, you know, and here we're going to talk about Schadenfreude. And by the way, Schadenfreude, you may think, is a strange concept. Only the Germans could come up with one word that means so much, you know. Like, they probably have a word for when the peanut butter gets stuck on the roof of your mouth. You know, they probably call it Rassenfeier. You know, it's something like that. Because it's a very good language for that. Schadenfreude, you know, there was a recent thing. It's appeared in so many different places. Boston Legal had an episode about Schadenfreude. And, in fact, even here, listen to this. This is cute. This comes from the play on Broadway, off-Broadway, called Avenue Q.
Right now you are down and out and feeling really crappy.
I'll see.
And when I see how sad you are, it sort of makes me happy.
Happy!
Sorry, Nicky, human nature, nothing I can do. It's Schadenfreude making me feel glad that I'm not you.
That's not very nice, Gary.
I didn't say it was nice, but everybody does it.
Did you ever clap when a waitress falls and drops a tray of glasses?
Yeah.
And ain't it fun to watch figure skaters?
Well, it's kind of like that. I would play the rest of it for you, but the language takes us off the limits of what's allowable here on radio, especially on WBAI. You know, it's probably more allowable on other radio stations than it is here, because it's here that we have people listening for any violations of the code, because, you know, we're uncomfortable to some people. Armand Mill here with you with the positive mind. Yes, the existence of this radio station is a discomfort because we report on a lot of the bad things in the universe and we talk about it, but so does the other news. But we talk about it and we've got an audience who listens and they shake their head back and forth and they go, oh no, it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible. When you listen to CNN and you listen to them report about some of the things that are happening on the planet, why do you think they report it? Because you buy it. Because you want to see it. A little while ago, somebody came up with a newspaper idea. They were going to come up with a newspaper that only reported good news. Went out of business real fast. Kind of disappeared. You know, there's another program tried to do that. Kind of disappeared. This, the Positive Mind, the radio program, which is about a positive way of thinking, which does not put down people, doesn't scold people, doesn't yell at people, doesn't tell people they're wrong. Not as popular as the kind of program that, you know, Dr. Judy and things like that, who tell people that they're just ridiculous for living the way they do. No, criticism, being able to hurt people or people just feeling bad and taking some kind of pleasure in it. Schadenfreude. So we're going to talk a little about that today. Your brain on Schadenfreude is watching it. The empathy circuits light up, you know. So we have they were studying the brains, and they found out when bad things happen to good people, both men and women find a glow of empathy in their studied brains. Okay, so you got these good parts going off where you feel empathetic. When good things happen to, when bad things happen to good people, everybody feels empathy. When bad things happen to bad people, however, believe it or not, the women still feel empathy. You know, oh, poor Mussolini. You know, I mean, they still feel that. But not the men. Not only do the men show less empathy, but the reward center in their left nucleus lit up. Translated to a serves him right. One of those feelings we get that, you know, serves him right. Good for him. He deserves that, you know? It's good to see his misfortune. Bad people's misfortune we like a lot, but we also like good people's misfortune. Now, I'm not saying you like it, and I know you're going to say, not me. But if there's an accident, do you turn the other way? You know, what are you looking for? I think there's part of us that really enjoys this for a couple of different reasons, which we're going to explore later in the program. But I thought we'd start off today with talking about two parts of this. Are you a Schadenfreudian, which means you're a Schadenfreudenmeister, or something like that? Do you take pleasure in other people's misfortune? Could you dig into your heart and check it out? Could you see if you're one of those people who are always curious to see the worst, who get a secret kind of pleasure from seeing it get as bad as it could get, you know, that kind of ooh feeling, that kind of feels nice? You know, it's like if you look at somebody who's burned their hand, you know, burns look terrible, but you can't keep your eyes off it because you want to see it, because as bad, the worse it gets, kind of the better it is. Sometimes I think that doctors, physicians, become physicians because they enjoy the tragedy and the illness of their patients. You know, secretly, they don't mean to, but the person comes in with a big scab or some kind of an open wound, and the doctor looks at it and he goes, ooh, kind of, I think, maybe enjoying it. When they see illnesses in people, you know, if they see cancer, I wonder about cancer doctors. When they study it and they see these fatal illnesses, you know, something about them that just feels weird when they're looking and they, you know, they're not really curing it. They're really saying, you know, well, we'll try to manage it in some way. They're managing this horror of people. And they see it over and over again, you know? I don't know. Maybe so. Maybe that's part of the motivation, not really to help people, to be exposed to tragedy, to be exposed to illness because you like it. Maybe that's part of the reason therapists become therapists. When I think about some of the psychotherapists who sit around listening to people's tragedies, you get those psychotherapists and you take them out to lunch, and they're still listening for people's tragedies. They're eliciting tragedies. You know, they'll go around and they'll talk to a weight person and say, how are you? And the weight person say, I'm tired. And so the psychotherapist says, oh, why are you tired? The person says, I'm tired because I was up all night. Why were you up all night? Because my friend was sick. What's your friend sick with? It's almost like you're fishing for the bad news. Not all therapists, not all doctors. What about you? Where do you stand? So there's two things that you could be. You could either be a Schadenfreudenmeister, I'm making this all up, of course. Or you could be a Schadenfreudetum, which is a person who loves to tell your sob story over and over again. You like to tell your tragedy. You're dying for people to listen, and believe it or not, people will listen, because even though it looks like they're sympathetic and empathetic, at times people are just listening because they're enjoying your bad luck. I know. Hard to believe. Hey, this is Armand DeMille back with you with The Positive Mind, digging up a lot of new stuff, research with the help of my assistants. We are finding stuff that is validating some of what we believe and invalidating other things that we thought were true, but we're going to present it to you. All stuff about the human mind, how the human mind works. Who would believe that we find pleasure in tragedy without being sadists? You know, it's not like we're creating the tragedy. We're not looking for the pain, but there's something about us that really gets into this. You know, really, give me the detail. No, tell me every detail about this. Uh-huh. And then he said what? And then he did what? This is Armando Mill with you. We're going to take your calls today. I'm going to start with your calls. We're going to go back to it. We've got much more to talk about this. So I'm going to tell you why I think people enjoy this. And what we could do to either increase your enjoyment or find another way. 212-209-2900 is our telephone number here. 212-209-2900. At WBAI, this is Armand DeMille, taking your calls. Like to hear from you. What about you and telling misery stories, or you and receiving and listening to misery stories? Could you look in your heart and tell me if there's some part of you that could admit to enjoying it? Please give us a call, 212-209-2900. I'll be with you today, and then, believe it or not, I know, I will not be with you on Wednesday and Thursday because of International Women's Day, which is really spectacular, which starts at midnight tonight and continues through Thursday to midnight. And because it's International Women's Day, I've been told I cannot, they want women to do the broadcasting. And I guess I can't talk about women. So I'll kind of give in to that. Maybe it's a time for women at WBAI, No Men Allowed. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. You're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there. Hello. Well, I know we've got something happening there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. My story is about finding out that I have Parkinson's disease.
Yes.
And I found that when my best friends came to console me, they were so, like, how can I explain it? They made me feel worse. It's like I felt sorry for them. They made me feel more sorry for them that I had it than I did for me to having it.
Tell me, describe that to me. You mean the amount of pain that they felt listening to it? Or what was it? What was it that made you feel bad for the way they feel?
It's like the reality of having the Parkinson's disease was hard for me to adjust to and everything. But it was almost like my friends are so close to me emotionally, my dearest friends, that I couldn't stand to be around them because it's like they felt so bad for me. But it was almost like a prophecy, you know what I mean? It's like they were like, wow, you know, this is, like, in other words, I can't imagine if this happened to me. It's unique. Oh, you're dealing with such a intense thing in your life. You know what I mean?
I do know exactly what you mean. And in a way, it felt weird.
Yeah.
Because empathy feels one way. But this kind of almost sounds like it's a better you than me, but it just feels a little skeevy when you're telling your story and they kind of, they seem to be getting almost more out of it.
But they had no idea it was unconscious.
Of course they don't. Yes, it is unconscious.
And I felt like I had to console them. Do you know what I mean? I had
yes,
to say, I'm going to be okay, it's going to be okay, and I'm doing really well now.
So now that you know, look, now that you're in the middle of this and you're going to be somebody who's going to be going through this a bit, and they're going to be, you're doing well, I hear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're taking care of yourself?
Yeah, yeah.
How did you change? What did you do to take care of yourself?
I did a lot of Gary Knowles advice about getting mercury fillings out of my mouth and detoxing. And I got a stem cell treatment before, our president stopped it as one of the lines or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that had something to do with it. I changed my exercise protocol, my attitude. I saw an upper cervical chiropractor who just does the first top of the vertebra. Do you know what I mean? It's a combination of changing lots of things in my life. Because I was in a wheelchair for 2.5 years. I couldn't hardly move. Hmm. And now I'm driving, moving around, you know.
Okay, now you told us about a lot of the good stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, you see, at that moment when you were telling me about all the good things that you did,
uh-huh,
if you were telling us about all the terrible things about Parkinson's, about the tremors, about the wheelchair, about all the other stuff.
Yeah, being trapped. The worst part is being trapped in your own body. That's the worst part.
Well, like, what do you mean by that? Could you describe that?
It's funny. No, the only people that could stand to be around me, because I was a very active, vibrant person, the only people that really stood by me were my kids, my husband, my parents, and my in-laws, my husband's. You know what I mean? It's like nobody else could stand to see me that paralyzed, not moving. And I told my husband, it's a funny thing. People would always say, I'll come by and help you do this, I'll help the kids or whatever. All I needed them to do was talk to me. My brain never changed. The one thing that never changes is your brain when you have Parkinson's, because it's a motor muscular disease. It affects movement,
mm-hmm,
but it doesn't affect your brain. It doesn't. Your brain doesn't get slower. It's not like Alzheimer's where you forget who they are or who you are. You know what I mean?
So
the one
trapped
thing my friends could have helped me with is all they had to do was just show up and talk to me. They couldn't do that because it was too scary to see, like, this reality that happened to me, and I'm so close to them. You know what I mean?
I hear. You see, now, as you described being trapped in your body, I am sure many people paid closer attention than when you talked about your recovery.
Well, it's a fearful... I mean, you can't know what it's like unless you really do it. I mean, no matter how much I describe it, it's, and I guess it's fascinating to try to think about it.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Well, congratulations to you, by the way.
Thanks.
And your fight. And what's your name, by the way?
Monique.
Monique, I'm really glad you're there.
Thanks. My father listens to you all the time. I listen to you all the time.
Your father listens to me all the time?
Yeah.
Did you get introduced to me through your father?
Yes.
Wow. How old is your father?
In his middle 70s.
And how long have you been listening?
I've been listening for, I'd say, like 10, 15 years, something like that. He's been listening for much longer than that.
Oof. Oof. I know I'm in families, you know?
Yeah.
I have a sneaking suspicion that, you know, I creep into homes where I've been around for so long. I imagine that people must know me in one way or another.
Yeah, I think so.
Nice to be a part of your family.
Yeah, thank you. You've helped our family a lot.
Anytime you want to be in touch with me, just let me know.
I will, Amon. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Bye-bye.
Bye.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Thank you, Monique. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Well, I would never get any pleasure out of seeing another person in any kind of physical pain. To me, pain, that's totally inhuman. I might hate someone, but when it comes to physical pain, that I would not wish on anyone. But there are people who, if I get a sense that they're phony, like they have a phony joyfulness, kind of like a Katie Couric type, then they irritate me, and I would enjoy seeing them, like, being put in their place, like having that phony sense of joyousness go away. That's why when 9/11 happens, one thing that passed through my mind was I was watching Katie Couric, and I said, well, it took this to get that phony smirk off her face. And that thought passed my mind, even though, you know, one thing was so horrible, and Katie Couric, the fact that she wasn't laughing anymore, I did make that connection that, well, it took this to, at least that got that phony smirk off her face. I did have that thought.
Appreciate that. Yes, I hear. So one of the things you're saying is part of what Schadenfreude may be is that it may be a kind of a revenge, a kind of feeling of, you know, I hope you have some misfortune because I'm sick and tired of your happiness. I'm sick and tired of your phoniness.
Well, it's a phony happiness. If there are people around who are genuinely really happy and you sense that it's real, it's from the depth of them. It's not an act. It's not this. It's not that. It's not a cover-up. It's really from the depth of them. Then I share in their joy, and I would not want that happiness to be taken away. It's the phoniness that I find objectionable. But I would I'd like to see that bubble of phoniness burst, so to speak.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling in.
All right, bye.
You know, sometimes, though, it gets very hard to tell, because sometimes if a person looks happy and you live in a depressed world, you think their world is phony. So you're happy when they suddenly get depressed. When we hear fire in Beverly Hills, you know, people really want to pay attention because it's Beverly Hills and it's everybody's rich over there. Oh, fire. Oh, gangs. Beverly Hills. Oh, I want to hear about that. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you. It's a Positive Mind. Very exciting radio show here on WBAI, usually Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 1 p.m. And from 1 to 2, not this week, because we have International Women's Day tomorrow and the next day. We're going to take a short break. When we'll be back, a little music and more radio.
This is WBAI, 99.5 FM in New York. And this is Reverend Jesse Jackson. Please call and support WBAI, Non-Commercial Peace and Justice Radio in New York.
Moorish, Orthodox, Radio, Crusade, Anarchism for the Global City, Radical Environmentalism for the Concrete Jungle, Esoteric Explorations of the Secret History of Rebel Culture. Every Tuesday at midnight, after the news, on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI, 99.5 FM.
Women of Ireland, the chieftains, part of my contribution to International Women's Day, starting tonight at midnight here at WBAI 99.5 FM. That's from the album of Barry Lyndon. Barry Lyndon, a remarkable story by Stanley Kubrick. Very interesting movie to see, and the music in it includes some of this beautiful music by the Women of Ireland, the Chieftains, C-H-I-E-F-T-A-I-N-S. I recommend the album, Barry Lyndon, L-Y-N-D-O-N. I recommend the movie. And in fact, you know, talking about what we are talking about today, Schadenfreude, which is about, you know, taking pleasure in the misfortune of others. That's what this movie is about, you know. Barry Lyndon is about misfortune. And it's about kind of the taking of pleasure in the eyes of misfortune. So you might want to take a closer look at it. This is Armand DeMille with you, with The Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM. Having been with many of you for many years, I keep meeting families, you know. Nowadays I'm meeting these youngins who come in here 16, 17, 18 years old. We have a specialist in the house who works with young teens. Stacy has a Nunez is her name, Stacy Nunez. So she works with teenagers and teenage problems and talking to young people, young adults as well. Well, Stacy keeps attracting people here who are the children of the people who have been listening to WBAI for so many years. And so they actually grew up from the crib. They heard some of us on the air. And they would be listening to a lot of the people who aren't, like Amy Goodman. They know her voice. They know her voice from the crib. They know my voice. They know quite a few other voices. And so these voices are on in the background, and the parents are listening to us on the radio while they're taking care of their infants and kids, and the kids are listening, you know, background noise. But they get used to it. So finally they come in and they meet me. You know, for one reason or another, they donate to the station, or they come in, they've got some problem they want to talk about. It's kind of amazing. It feels like family. 212-209-2900 is our telephone number. We are talking about the way that people respond to the misfortune of other people, and some of the latest research which suggests that there is some part of our brain that indicates that there is a pleasure we get from seeing the misfortune of others. That's why we're such spectators. I mean, this is probably why you could throw the Christians to the lions and have a whole group of people in the Colosseum applauding. I mean, what's that all about? Why are we doing that? You think it's just sadistic nature? Or is it some part of you that says, better you than me? See, I think it touches on something related to our mortality. I think we like to challenge death. Let's think about death. Death is something that is, that we don't like to talk about or think about. Nobody wants to think about their own death. Nobody wants to talk about their own death. Nobody wants to entertain death, unless we can entertain death as a guy who comes in, you know, who's wearing a hood, who comes in the middle of the night to claim you, you know, death comes to visit. But nobody wants to really talk about it, but somehow, if you must figure, if it must be built into us, if the body is ready to produce 7 different forms of worms to take your body to the soil the minute that you die, if you have hormones that are only built for death alone, to help you deal with death, which we have, which are only used once. Yep, we have a whole bunch of our brain that is only used when you, one that's used when you're born. Soon as that's done, boom, we never use it again, but it's still there. And then we have another part of our brain, a whole structure, including hormones, that's there when you die. It's just hanging out. Waiting. Is this today? Is today the day? No, I'll go back to sleep. Is today the day? No, I'll go back to sleep. You know, accident happens, you know, your airplane crash. Oops, everybody wake up. Here it comes. Bring up the old death program. Well, I think since this is in our systems, we have some part of us that's rehearsing. all the time. There is some part of us that knows about death and that we want to prepare for death. Why do you think people bungee jump? I mean, what is bungee jumping about? You go off some kind of a cliff or a bridge with a rope around your ankle, right, or some kind of a thing, and you almost hit bottom, and boing, you come back up, and that thrill, that moment, is putting you in touch with triggering this stuff that's supposed to be only used when you die. Or what about skydiving? Or what about drugs? What about drugs and chemicals that disorganize you in such a way that you are sure you overdid it this time? One of the experiences of people who take LSD is if they take a large enough dose of it, they are convinced they hurt themselves. And part of what leads to the biggest LSD, quote, trip, the most pleasurable trip, is when you are convinced that you killed yourself. You see? Because it triggers all this stuff. Special hormones, endorphins, little things come out of the doors, you know, little things open up, little celebrations, see pictures of Jesus, you know, stuff that happens only at death. So death has a fascination to us, but we don't want to admit it. We don't want to talk about it. We can't talk about it. It's maudlin, right? Nobody wants to hear about it. You write a book, How to Die. Don't even show me that book. Imagine carrying that on if you're doing fast dating and How to Die is your book that you carry. No, that's not the book to carry, right? But to carry a book on skydiving, it's the same thing, right? That's acceptable. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. So I think it's about our familiarity with death. I think it's about getting close to a part of us that's in there that we don't like to talk about, but we clearly get released a hormonal structure, not only hormones, but all kinds of things that take place. There's a party that happens that's ready to happen. It's like 100 guys come out of different doors. You know, the oxygen gets cut off to the brain, boom, these doors open up. Okay, hit it, he's gone. Let's take them back to the soil as quick as we can. You know, that's what I think Schadenfreude is about. I think it's about celebrating the misfortune of others because, and the reason you feel good is because there's somehow their misfortune kind of brings you closer to your own mortality and to theirs. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Let's take some of your calls again. What an interesting day today is. We're coming up to, by the way, you should all know the next time I'm on air will be Pi Day. Pi Day, March 15th. Take a look at March 14th, yeah. Pi Day. P.I. Day. A very special time. It's when Albert Einstein was born and some other folks. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Mr. DeMille?
Yes.
Hi. My name is Pete, and I've just been listening, and I agree with you, but I think there's many answers to your question, and I think that death is only one part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us, you know, just got to deal with life, and there are just many different instances where we pull Schadenfreude into place. I think the largest part of what you're talking about is better you than me. I think that the frequency of mundane experiences that happen to people, melodramas, talk shows, all that stuff is for us to look at a person in, you know, ordinary circumstances most of the time and say, oh, you know, I'm glad I didn't let myself get in that situation. Or I'm glad I'm not such a dummy that I allowed that this misfortune to happen to me. I think most of us are not bungee jumpers or parachutists, although I think you're bringing out an extreme when you mention that. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you something, Pete. Let me ask you a question, okay? Have you lived by the rules, or have you lived outside of the rules most of your life?
I've done both.
Okay, now, when you live inside the rules, That means what? You pay your taxes, you follow the rules, you don't step out. You're responsible. Now you look at people who are irresponsible or tend to be less responsible, right? And they look like they're having a good time. How do you feel towards them? When you're breaking your chops being responsible and you see somebody unresponsible, how do you feel? You know, and they're having a good...
I'm sure that there is a bit of envy involved, especially when you used to live outside the rules. I'm sure that that all comes...
Did you used to live outside the rules completely?
No, not completely.
Okay, so you always held yourself back a little as well. And so I think you're adding many elements to it, but one of the elements that I hear you bring in as well is, you know, hey, you know, I'm glad to hear that you just don't get away scot-free, because if you did, then what am I doing with my whole life? You know, what am I doing just following all the rules while you're just having a grand time?
Yeah, I would say that that's an aspect to it, and I think that you could apply that to my personal experience. But I think a lot of people, I don't want to characterize everybody, but I'm just saying that that we don't have people who live in or outside the rules still don't have a lot of chances for the type of drama that we see externally presented us to in the media all the time. A 9/11 doesn't happen every day. You know, once in a while you see a car wreck and you gawk. I'm just saying that, you know, in the regular existence of things, you know, why did people show up for hangings and executions in the old days when they used to be public?
Yeah, one wonders.
Things like that. So people would take opportunities, I imagine, to break, I guess, from routine. I mean, for lack of a better description.
To spice up their lives a little.
Yeah.
Somebody's tragedy.
I would imagine that happens. But even in I'm saying that those things, you know, if we're lucky, they only touch our lives once in a while. Most of the time, most of us are, even if we're not working, we're doing something. We're not in the midst of drama all the time, or melodrama or whatever. And then when we come across people who, you know, they broke up with their significant other, or a parent died of a disease, you know, we look at that and we say, oh, you know, thank God it's not me. Or when we hear somebody make a stupid mistake, especially if we didn't like that person, I think for the most part, these are the types of situations most people, I think, run into every day. And they're just I think part of it, a lot of it, is just propping themselves up to say, you know, I'm better than that.
Yeah,
I think that is the larger part.
You're bringing in three or four different elements, and I think they're all accurate, Pete. I think those are all important considerations.
And I would just like to just add one thing.
Sure.
Because you had another caller on who said, you know, she had Parkinson's, and when people came to console her, it was actually worse for her. I have a couple that are friends of mine who live out west, and they had a child who was murdered, and it gained attention of the press, and everybody poured in to console these people, and they just had to move because it was actually worse for them to receive all the attention and all of people's good intentions. It was actually worse for them. They went into hiding. I didn't talk to them for 10 years. They had to get away from everybody.
Right here, because they needed to have space for their own feelings.
Yeah,
and sometimes people taking advantage of it think they're consoling you, but they're just
churning up your misfortune.
Yeah,
in order to make themselves feel like they've helped you through stuff.
Pete, you're a smart man. Thank you for calling in, and thanks for your observation.
It's really good to listen to you.
Thank you.
It really is. Thank you.
212-209-2900. A reminder to everybody, starting at noon tonight on midnight tonight on WBAI, going through midnight on Thursday, International Women's Day, a day for women broadcasters, so I won't be with you on Wednesday or Thursday. I think Roberta Atti is going to be with you one particular time during that time, and I think it's going to be Thursday morning, real early, like 6 o'clock in the morning. check with the schedule at WBAI and you'll hear her contribution. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hello there.
Hello.
Yes, you're there. You got to turn down your radio.
Thank you, Armand. How are you?
It is my pleasure to speak to you.
It's been a while. I kind of lost you and lost space, but you've been in my family, and you are family, and without being family, you'd be surprised. When I have issues, I just go to your program, and it seems to, you always seem to be talking the right topic at the right time.
What's your name?
My name is Carmen.
Carmen, hi. So we've talked before.
Yes, many moons ago.
Many moons ago.
Yeah, and I would say moons of years. So,
hey, Carmen, so tell me about you. What are you, when you hear about somebody's misfortune, how do you feel in general? You feel sad, but do you find yourself fixed for the details?
Well, and that's why I was calling. I think that in reality, a lot of people wait to it actually bites. I think the concept is that it's not going to happen to me or my family, and people are not prepared for death, for being in debt, and how that, you know, will devastate your house where you get foreclosed and things like that. And I think that people are just used to the media, and again, it's not going to happen to me. I'm immune to death, and writing living wills and all that good stuff, they seem to think that it's a lengthy process and that you need a lawyer half the time to, generate this paperwork, and it's not true. And I think that in my family, up until I had an aunt who now has like a touch of Alzheimer's disease, is now where we're starting to face the facts that, okay, we have to sign these papers and, you know, get her wishes down on paper, because tomorrow she may not even recognize who I am.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, and it's devastating because sometimes if you wait too late, it's just too late. And then you can't do anything. Then the state takes over and pretty much, you know, delegates what's happening to your family, you know, governmental ways, and you don't really want that.
This is your aunt. You said it's your aunt?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yes. And you're dealing. So you think what? Well, complete that thought.
Well, I think that people should really, you know, start paying attention to their finances, to the family members around them, to the inheritances of diseases in their family. Like for mine, for instance, we have two things. Now we're starting to find dementia and Alzheimer's, and then also heart attacks. You know, my grandfather had a heart attack at 45, and no one ever would think of, okay, 45. And, you know, so, you know, now is the time to really, like, we're not going to last forever. You're not going to be on the radio forever. It's unfortunate, you know. And these are the things that will become an issue and then become sad. So instead of waiting for doom and gloom, let's look at what's happening, face the reality. So when these time frame comes, it's, you actually can deal with it better because you're prepared. And, you know, it's a sad thing to do, but it's just like doing your taxes every year. You have to really look at your finances, your wills, your living wills. Because anything can happen, you know.
And I thank you so much. Thank you for calling in. I'm going to start looking for my replacement this week.
Oh, don't say
I got to line it up and get it ready. You're right.
Because
we're going
you
to
never
take,
know.
You never know. I'm going to do interviews.
There you go. And someone has to carry your legacy, Armand. And on top of that, you deserve a vacation too, babe. So somebody has to take over when you're in Hawaii somewhere, okay?
Yeah, well, I don't go to Hawaii very much, but I will be looking for an Armand substitute if anybody wants to apply for the job, just in case of the event of
there
my...
There you go. Armand, tell me, are you on the Internet as of yet?
Yo,
do you have
sure.
a site? Can you
sure,
say that on the radio?
ThePositiveMind.com.
Okay. Very good.
ThePositiveMind.com with all the programs up there. Tom Gerby has put that together, and we're
nice.
Putting together another website, which will be really beautiful coming up. We're working
excellent.
On it now.
You're beautiful.
Thank you,
take
Carmen.
Care.
Nice to talk to you.
Likewise. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. It's so good to be talking to you folks again. Nice to be back with you. If you wanted to go to my website, ThePositiveMind.com, which is about the radio program and about some of the old programs you could listen to. Very reliable. Tom Gerby has helped us stream and keep this program going all over the world. So tomorrow and the next day, you won't be hearing The Positive Mind. And if you miss it, go to the website and pull up a couple of programs maybe you would have missed. I'll be back with you on Pi Day 1 week from today. My friends, put it in your calendar.
Barry Lyndon playing Schubert, the music of Schubert, here on WBAI, as we say farewell to the Positive Mind with Armand DeMille for this day. He'll be back on Pi Day, as he said, next week on the 14th. You are tuned to listener-supported, commercial-free, community radio WBAI, WBAI.org, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. Very interesting, talking about death and dying and making living wills and so on. To take care of a bit of that myself, because in fact, as the caller just said, the final caller of the day, you do never know. From the music of Schubert to the music of Ali Fakhr Toure, who, unfortunately, just died. One of Africa's best-known musicians, Ali Fakhr Toure, has died after a long illness in his home country of Mali, the culture ministry has announced. Sorry to have to bring you that information, but news nonetheless. And stay tuned for more information as we move throughout the broadcast day here at WBAI. Coming up next at 2 p.m. will be the Tuesday Arts Magazine, and at 3 o'clock, Talk Back with Hugh Hamilton, Taking Aim with Ralph Shulman and Maya Schoen at 5 o'clock, and the evening news, the WBAI evening news at 6 p.m. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.